Welcome to Civil Discourse. In this second hour of our special edition, A Candidates Roundtable, we have with us all three candidates for the office of Grant County Assessor. And with me again is Nick Seibel, publisher and general manager of the Silver City Daily Press, as a panelist and discussant. At the outset, I'll ask each of the candidates to speak for 3 to 5 minutes as an opening statement on their background, their motivation for seeking this public office, and the goals they hope to accomplish should they be elected. We will then have questions, answers, and discussion, and we'll conclude the program with a 2-minute closing statement from each candidate. We are broadcasting this Candidates Roundtable live on Tuesday, May 20th, 2014. We will rebroadcast periodically until the election on June 3rd, and we will make this program available by podcast so that you can listen at your convenience again. Now let me welcome my guests. First, we have Raul Esturieta, Democratic candidate for Grant County Assessor. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. That sounded pretty good.
And also a Democrat seeking this position of Grant County Assessor, Mary Guthrie. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
And Lucy Whitmarsh, a Republican unopposed in the primary. Welcome.
And thank you very much for having me here.
I'll welcome also Nick Seibel, our panelist and discussant, and our studio engineer, thanks to you, Kyle Johnson. This is Gila Mimbres Community Radio, broadcasting on FM 89.1 as KURU. This is your community radio station. Now, candidates, I'll ask each of you to give a 3 to 5 minute opening statement in the order of which I welcomed you to this roundtable. Please tell our listeners what you think it's important for them to know about your background, your life history, why you're seeking office, what main goals you hope to accomplish if you are elected. Raul Turrieta, may we begin with you, please.
Sure. My name is Raul Turrieta, and I'm a lifelong resident here in Grant County. I'm also a United States Navy veteran. I have served many hats, not only here in the community, but also in statewide. I was a Grant County Assessor for 8 years. I'm a United States Navy veteran. I'm also a local government leadership graduate of 2006. I'm also sat on the executive board for the New Mexico Association of Counties. I was the vice chair, the chairman of the New Mexico Association of Counties. I'm also a member of the New Mexico Association of Counties. I also was the liaison for the year 2000 and 1990 for the census of the liaison census for 1990 and the year 2000. I have a deep understanding of all the assessment process, and I'm a lifelong resident of Grant County. I have vested interest in assuring fair and equitable assessments and valuations for the people who own homes and properties here. I also fully appreciate the importance of this office as the revenue source from day-to-day operations for this community. With 34 years of experience working in the assessor's office, I have a proven track record to serve the citizens here in Grant County. I also have a lot of Grant County involvement. I have done the old Senior Olympics. Oh, Nick Seibel's not looking at me. I also on the committee for the Grant County Trails, Silver City Gospel Mission. I was a basketball coach and golf coach for Cobra High. I also a member of the ASME Local 2516. I did the Walk for the Heroes, and that was an interesting one. And I'm also a WIL member at the university. I do have my goals set for the county assessor's office. Once again, I was the assessor at one time, and I'm in the process of wanting to be the assessor again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Raul Turrieta, seeking the nomination of the Democratic Party. And also seeking that nomination is Mary Guthrie, currently Grant County Assessor. And now will you give us your opening statement?
Thank you. I'm currently the county assessor right now. I was appointed by the commissioners and highly recommended by the previous assessor, Randy Villa, as the most qualified person to be the assessor. My experience is I've been employed in the office for the past 29 years, and I've been a New Mexico certified appraiser since 1988. During this time, I've gathered extensive knowledge and experience with all functions of the assessor's office, including state statutes and regulations that govern the assessor's office. For years, I have prepared the reports that Property Tax Division in Santa Fe requires of our office, reports that help to determine our tax rates, reports to the county manager, which helps in determining a budget for the county, and report to the county commissioners to let them know exactly what we do in the assessor's office. I know what it takes to get the job done and to do it well, and I have the courage to make those tough decisions. But I also have the compassion to listen to the needs of others, to listen to the needs especially of our elderly, and to listen to the needs of our veterans. I enjoy the responsibilities and challenges in the assessor's office, and my vision, as always, is to serve you, the people of Grant County, to the best of my ability. I plan on bringing in new technology to help us with our reappraisal so that we won't have to spend 6 years doing a reappraisal, but we can actually spend maybe 2 years doing the reappraisal, making sure that the market is where it should be. Right now, in the office, we're doing a land study to make sure that the values for the land are correct. Right now, doing the study, starting it, I can see that the land values are down, and people will actually see that decrease in land value for next year on their notices of value. If I am elected, I do want to implement that new tablets into the office so that the appraisers can, instead of having to print so many copies to go to the field, they can just download the information and go to the field, which will save a lot of time in the office. I have an open-door policy, and I am in the office Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, so please come by and voice your concerns. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary Guthrie, seeking the Democratic nomination. Lucy Whitmarsh is the Republican candidate, unopposed in the primary.
Thank you very much. I would just like to talk about some of my experience that applies to this position and also what my goals are for the position. And it's primarily that I want to see the office be able to be harmonious with the other agencies involved in the county that are involved in the property tax collection, because it's not really just the assessor. It's also a combination of the county clerk, where the deeds are recorded, that we get the information about the change of ownership, and also the tax collector, who has a responsibility for collecting the taxes after the values have been set by the assessor's office. And I think that it's very important to work with the other agencies within the county and also in cooperation with the county commission and also the county manager, because you're part of a team when you're in the assessor's office. And I've learned this from 20 years of experience as an appraiser in the Riverside County, California Assessor's Office. And I started out there as an appraiser trainee, and I learned from the ground up how to do the appraisals for real estate for tax purposes, and was a certified appraiser in California. And in the 20 years that I was in that office, I progressed into management, so I have a more learning the trade, but then developing the skills to be a manager for the office. So I progressed to that in the time that I was there. And then since I've moved to Grant County, I have, and this is since 2010, I've been the fire chief for the Pinos Altos Volunteer Fire Department, and that's similar to being a department head with Grant County. And part of it, of the position, is that I work very closely with the finance department at the county, and also the county manager and the county commissioners, to fulfill the responsibilities of the fire department. So it is an administrative role, and I'm very familiar with the way that the processes work within Grant County, and especially the importance of the assessor's office being very responsible and fair in setting values, because most of the funding for Grant County funding sources is from property tax collection. So it's a very important function of the county to make sure that that's a very, very well-run office. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucy Whitmarsh, candidate from the Republican Party for Grant County Assessor. Questions, Nick Seibel.
We had the opportunity to visit with the candidates for judge, for various judge positions in the county, and Jamie sort of started that off with a question to them about what do the various judge positions do. And we had a reader or a listener, not really sure, we had an audience member submit a question asking, what does the Grant County Assessor do? What sort of training and or experience does the assessor need to be competent? Does it really matter who the assessor is, or is this a technical position where any capable person would do pretty much the same thing while they're in office? So, thoughts? Jump in here.
Being the county assessor right now, I know the importance of being the assessor. And it's like Lucy Whitmarsh had just mentioned, that our revenue base, if we bring in enough value, then everyone that sets a budget gets their budget then. So the setting the values is very, very important in the office. That's why a study is so important, to make sure that we're a market. The only bad thing about it is that we're not fee appraisers. We do mass appraisal. So we'll take an area, a neighborhood, and we'll determine cost per square foot given by sales that have actually occurred on the market. And we'll adjust that neighborhood cost per square foot. So you also, once you get that done, then you need to open up the office for protests. And this year I went ahead and I put an ad in the paper to come by the office from 12 to 1 and from 5:30 to 6:30, that I was there to help you read your notice of value, to help you protest, so that you don't have that fear of protesting, because it's not our office against the people. We're here to help the people of Grant County. So once you get those protests done, we have to certify values, which I'm going to be doing by June 15th. So once the values are certified, that's sent to Property Tax Division in Santa Fe, and then to Department of Finance to set those tax rates. And those tax rates are based off those values that we put in there. You have to know how to do the reports. If you don't know how to do the reports and you make mistakes in the reports, it's the property owners that pay for it in their taxes, paid for on those mistakes. So you have to know how to do the reports. You have to be familiar with our software, especially. We have a new software in our office right now. We've had it for like 5 years. And I'm actually the only one that has done those reports. And I'm not saying that somebody can't sit and learn those reports, but it's going to take taxpayers' money to train them to do it. And right now, I'm already doing those reports. So yes, the office is very important. I have a brilliant staff that I work with. We're a team, and we're working there together. And doing this study, they've learned so much, too. So, you know, getting them educated, I want to make sure that all of them become New Mexico Certified Appraisers. They're very close. Two of them are very close to becoming New Mexico Certified Appraisers, and the other ones will start on that. So education is huge, too, in the office.
I'm not going to – I don't point at people. This is a discussion, so you just kind of have to jump in here and don't be shy.
Go ahead, Lucy.
It definitely makes a difference who the assessor is, because the assessor sets the tone for the office. The assessor sets the standards, and also the assessor represents Grant County outside of Grant County. So it is very important that we have that representation at the state level to represent what our needs are, and that we have credibility, and that we have confidence from people at the state level that we are really able to do our jobs here in Grant County.
And that's very true. I just had my evaluation with Property Tax Division done. They come down and they evaluate the assessor. So I just had that done, and we have to follow state statutes and regulations. And they check everything to make sure that you are following that and that you're not just creating values without a study. They make sure of that. So I just had my evaluation, which comes back excellent.
Raul, I've never known you to be shy, buddy.
Well, I just love to hear them say a few words. Thank you very much, Lucy. Thank you, Mary. You know, what the assessor does, you know, we don't want to get into, well, you know, which individual should be the assessor or how, you know, it is a very important position. But what the assessor does, and I've been working on this this information for the last week or two because I went ahead and taught a class for that will class up at the university. The assessor values all properties subject to taxation. The assessor is required by the New Mexico law to discover, list the values of all properties within the county, appraise values as a basis of assessed values to determine the distributions of property tax levies among taxpayers. Only in the values of correct with tax limited, debt limits, and distributions to the state and local legislative intents. Property is taxed 33 1/3 of the full value. We need to have an individual that has known the market and working since 1981 and was the assessor for 8 years, I have seen the fluctuation of the market going up, going down. Being the chairman of the assessor's affiliate statewide, we were very instrumental, not only on our full partial disclosure, but also on the 100% vet disabled. And we increased the veterans at 4,000, also the head of household. Knowing all this for the last 30-some-odd years, it is nice that we know what goes on up in Santa Fe and to exercise it here in Grant County. It's very important to have a gentleman, and like Lucy stated, to be involved not only with the commission, not only the county managers, but also with your treasurer, your clerk, your maintenance department, everybody in that building. Go ahead.
Okay. Very good. Jamie, you got a question?
I think this may be a good time to bring in a question from one of our community question authors. And it seems to me as I read this question that the premise is that very large landholders, very large employers have a tremendous impact on the economy, therefore on land values in the county. The question says, do you think that mining companies should be given their own set of rules that allows them to pollute the public's groundwater at their mine sites, while other operations in the state must prevent groundwater pollution? There's a lot, I think, underlying that question.
You know, and
would you like to speak to that?
Yeah, and I'm so glad you brought that up because I remember in the early 80s, the individuals, the property owners, really didn't pay that much tax due to the facts that the at that time it was Kennecott Corporation and Mitsubishi and Chino Mines. They actually hold the brunt of the property taxes. And in about 1989, there was a sellout to Phillips Dodge Corporation. And what happened, we lost millions and millions of dollars on valuation. It pretty much eroded the whole tax base in Hidalgo County. So we are the only county here in the state of New Mexico that's under Copper Production Tax Act. And what happens there, they're on a 3-year average. And 1 year they're up, 1 year they're down. It all depends, and that's how they're being valued. There was the Senator Smith from Demi, and we were sitting in committee, and it was quite interesting and made the comment, well, what happens if the bottom falls out? Guess what? It fell out. We had no revenue. We had to lean to our own property taxpayers. So now copper is moving okay on copper production. It's on the upswing. And the water situation, I'm very, very sensitive about that due to the fact about the diverting the Gila River. And the mining company owns the whole Membris Basin on our water. And I hate to say this, but we're pretty much running out of water, and a lot of it does go to the copper mining industry, and a lot of it is being polluted. And I do believe that they need to have more strict regulations or statutes or whatever the case may be for them to stop polluting our water, because that's all we have.
Mary Guthrie, Lucy Whitmarsh.
Well, you know, the mines do pay a tax base to us, And right now they're up, we're going to be up $34 million that they'll bring into our community. I don't agree with the groundwater, what they do to the groundwater. I don't know how the reclamation actually works out there, if they actually do have something that they're doing with the groundwater. I'm not sure about that. But I do know that the mines do actually help with our community too.
Lucy Whitmarsh.
The current regulations that we have were legislated, and the assessor does not have any legislative power. So it's the legislature establishes the regulations, and it becomes the responsibility of the assessor to carry out what the regulations are. But we do not make regulations.
Thank you there, thank you, Lucy. With this Copper Production Tax Act, it's very vague, actually. And if you read it, like I said, there's only a few individuals that understand the whole process. But yes, Lucy, you're right about that. We have to abide by whatever our legislators have written up on this Copper Production Tax Act. But I believe that there's got to be some other issues or other legislation to be passed about controlling this polluting the water. And because they use a ton, I mean, amounts. One time I went down to the wells down in Deming, and I couldn't believe the size of these wells and how much water was being pumped out of these wells. I was doing an assessment while I was the assessor at the time, and it is amazing how much water is being utilized and how much water is being polluted.
I think I'm inferring here, but I think this question has perhaps less to do with actual legislation than with the implementing regulations. And that's something that state agencies are involved with and the public. We will shortly go to a break. And when we come back to Civil Discourse, Nick Seibel will have more questions for our three candidates for Grant County Assessor. Stay with us. Welcome back to Civil Discourse, where we're holding a candidates roundtable ahead of the primary election on June 3rd. We have with us in this hour the three candidates for Grant County Assessor, and Nick Seibel will ask the next question.
All right. Raul Torrieta's got to be really glad that the microphones weren't on.
Yes.
And I kind of want to do a follow-up question to our discussion before we went to the break, which was in asking, we talked about water pollution in the mines, but also into the discussion came the copper production tax. And I wonder if you would go into what that is a little bit and how the taxation of the mines property differs from the taxation of, say, property that I might own in town.
It's based off the legislation. The legislation set how the mines would actually be taxed. So it's either done on production or done on personal property, depending on whether the mine is functioning at that time or not.
I think that it's similar to a lot of our funding sources in New Mexico, where, like for the oil and gas, they have a tax on extraction. And so that's a lot of where the money to come that comes from to run the state is from the extraction taxes. So there are all different levels of taxation, and I think that it's good that at least there's some provision to have some of the money stay locally for the property taxes, because, again, it is such a big portion of the funding for our county government.
Thank you. Actually, it's all based in value. Copper Production Tax Act is a very interesting law due to the fact that it is just not valued under just property. It's just not undervalued under personal property. It is whatever value is on the mine itself. For example, we lost a lot of value under local assessment, where we had about a couple thousand acres of land of grazing. Guess what? The mine's going to look at it that way and say, hey, this is we're going to mine in that property one of these days, so it falls under copper production. So the value changes on that, and it moves on over to copper productions, not your local valuation. And once again, it is on a three-year average. If the mines does not produce within 3 years what happens, it goes to whatever value it is on personal property, on what it, the value of the property itself. That's why they do this in a three-year average. Like I said, once again, 1 year it's up, 1 year it's down. The assessment is being brought up by the local taxpayers or state-assessed properties. It all depends on what happens on that year in Copper Production Tax Act.
So the mines, they pay property tax on the mine property and on the equipment, and then they pay an additional tax based on how much copper they mine? Is that how that works?
Exactly. Go ahead.
Property tax in Santa Fe is actually the one that they report to Property Tax Division, and Property Tax Division gives us that information back, and then we put whatever value the Property Tax Division puts on that property, we put that on our tax rolls.
You know, being a self-rendering state, copper actually, they place down what the valuation that they think they should be, okay? Property Tax Division, if they don't think it's equitable or fair, they can pretty much contest the valuation. And I've seen that happen, but it is all on a three-year average, and no matter how you look at it, it's a very vague, vague law.
So here's another question submitted by, I assume, someone who's listening to us right now. The question is that several homes in the neighborhood of the questioner appear to have incorrect addresses when you compare them to the assessor's website. How would you better ensure that the information on the assessor's website is accurate and up to date?
Right now, we don't actually enter those addresses in. If somebody builds a home, they go to the rural addressing department, which is in the planning department, and they put those addresses in. And then we get that address from them. Now, if it's an older address, these addresses were put on years ago, I mean, back in the early 80s. If they're incorrect, then we need to find out. People need to call us and tell us. And it just takes us a second to change it. So it's really going to, I mean, I don't want to throw that on the taxpayer, but there's no other way of doing it. When our appraisers go out to the field, they try to gather all this data, and they try to make those changes if there are errors on it.
Actually, whenever you're out in the field doing these reappraisals, one of the most important things is the address itself. And with these reappraisals, when an enumerator or an appraiser goes out there to look at the properties, there should be a check and balance to see exactly, well, let's double check if the address is okay. Let's double check if we have the right photograph on the property. Let's double check and see if it's the right house and the right property. And I'm so glad you brought that question up. I've been going door to door, and that was brought up quite a few times that they saw a lot of the photographs were not matching there in the assessor's office. And I just pretty much told them, well, contact them, let them know exactly where you live, and kind of describe what your house is, and send an enumerator or send an appraiser out there to go ahead and verify and do a reval on looking at the property and so on.
There is also an instance where the county does reevaluate addresses and change addresses if either because it was incorrect or they've changed some area where they're working on a different platform. And so I think the communication is very important, not just to let the property owner know what their new address is, but also to communicate that to the assessor's office so that we can keep the addresses updated correctly on the computer, but also for the tax bills to make sure that we have correct mailing addresses, because that turns out to be a big issue here is mailing. So in anything that I've worked in here, we seem to get back about 10% of mail comes back. And so it's very important that people receive their tax bills. But the other part of that is that the taxpayer does have the responsibility to know that they should be receiving a tax bill, and they are responsible for paying it whether they receive it or not. But I think it's through the efforts of the assessor's office in making sure that all records are updated in a timely manner that we can try to reduce the number of returned mail.
Nick, when I was the assessor in 1999, the first thing that I wanted to do is bring the rural addressing system there into the assessor's office. I battled the commission over and over that it had to be, you know, a separate agency. So other offices, and I'm talking out of the 33 counties here in the state of New Mexico, the larger assessor's office or the larger counties did have the rural addressing in that office. And the reason why is they go out there, they GPS the roads, they GPS the addresses, like, for example, up on Sanctuary from the highway. I live 2.4 miles from the highway. And by then, you could actually have the right data. It's quite interesting. We do have Google. You check Google compared to our addresses and different kind of addresses, and a lot of it does not match either. So I think the best thing is to go out there, physically look at the property, talk to the property owner. What is your address?
So has that ship sailed? I mean, is that something we should be looking at as a county? Should rural addressing
Absolutely.
Be moved into the assessor's
office? I think it would be a good idea. Absolutely.
I think it would be a good idea if we had more employees. But we have 6 appraisers, and they are checking 29,000 properties. So to try to get out there and check everybody's address is almost impossible. Most important is not the address. Most important is the legal description to make sure that you're being valued on the right property. Yes, we want to have those addresses in there because it makes it easier for the property owners to actually find an address because they usually go by addresses. But as far as the office, most important to us is legal description, making sure that that is correct.
Very good. Jamie's got one.
Come on, Jamie.
Well, I was struck by the fact we heard that about 10% of the mail that goes out having to do with property taxes and property valuation.
No, from my experience with mailings that I've done, it seems that we have about 10% that comes back.
That seems to me to be potentially quite a lot of important mail, and I just wondered, suppose a person may have been vaguely thinking, I wonder why I haven't gotten a bill for my property taxes this year, but it hasn't come because the address on file is wrong. When that person discovers that, does the person simply have to pay a fine with accumulated interest, or is it possible to go to a reasonable individual in the assessor's office and say, it looks as though your file had my address wrong, and now I have a penalty? Can that be waived? I have my checkbook.
We actually don't tax the property. We value it. So the treasurer taxes the property. So tax bills and notices of value are actually sent out only as a courtesy. We hope that everybody does receive it because you only have 30 days to protest it as of the date that we mail it. We do everything that we possibly can to get the right mailing address. We end up receiving probably out of those 29,000 we sent out, we might receive, I don't know, less than 100 back. My employees, usually I'll have one or two employees go through the whole stack, and if it's a transfer or a change of address, we're in there changing it. So that if they didn't get the notice of value, at least they're going to get their tax bill. So we make every effort possible.
And if there's a problem, see the treasurer.
No. Hey, in January, we get an order from the property tax division to place when we're going to mail out the notices of valuation and also looking on what exemptions you have. And once again, it's for ad valorem tax purposes. The legal description comes out by where the deeds come out the county clerk's office. But they do ship orders out. And at one time, we were shipping orders from Catron County, you know, same thing, but it comes out in, you know, the local newspapers. So the property owners are well aware of them to check their addresses, make sure if they get their notice of valuation, but the orders are sent from Property Tax Division.
You are listening to Civil Discourse, a Candidates Roundtable on Gila Mimbres Community Radio. Streaming 24/7 at gmcr.org and broadcasting on FM 89.1. Next question, Nick.
All right, very good. So I'm sort of curious on another question from a listener. Housing and land prices are declining in Grant County. This is what the questioner says. Does your office account for this in assessment values? And if so, how?
Working with the property owners now and sending out notices of value. With my staff, we're trying to do that land study right now. And just a very small study that we've had so far, I can see that the land values have dropped. Our next step would be to do neighborhoods. And we will be reevaluating all neighborhoods to see where we're at with these neighborhoods. We will start that study. And I'm hoping to get the study done before the end of the year. That way, I know moving forward, the office is where it should be as far as the market. We do have a 3% cap that is applied to the property. If you have not sold your property and you've lived in your property 10 years, 5 years, 3 years, we can only increase it by 3%. And a lot of properties are still under market, so they're still going to get that 3% increase. A study is done to see what areas don't need that, in which last year there were a few areas that didn't get that 3% increase. And the rest of the county probably did receive that increase because we're still under market. So when I'm saying about, when I talk about doing a study, for Grant County, we're doing a study on market. Not everybody's at market value, but the market will be set for if the property sells, then that property will go to market. So once we do a study, if the market is down below what that value is right now, it will decrease.
And also on an individual basis, as Mary had mentioned, one of the reasons that the value notices are sent out every year is so that the property owner can look at them and see if they know from what's going on in their neighborhood that their value is too high compared to properties that are similar to theirs that have sold. And they can protest on an individual basis if they bring in the comparable sales that indicate that the value of their property should be lower. And the assessor's office has been very understanding and cooperative in looking at those. And I think probably the part of the land study has been implemented, because I know in my area the land value did drop. I went, What happened?
So Lucy Whitmarsh, a Republican candidate for assessor. I've been neglecting to say people's names. I'm going to try to redouble my efforts there.
Right now, you know, I mentioned I've sent out almost 29,000 notices of value. We received 170 protests. And that's not 170 individuals, but it's accounts, 170 accounts, because some individuals actually owned like 9 or 10 of those properties. We've been working on those to get all those straightened out. And what I want to, what I really want to bring across is a lot of people are afraid to protest because they think that they have to come with those comparables to our office to prove our values are wrong. The burden of proof, yes, it falls on the property owner. I don't like that. You can walk into our office at any time and say, I want to see why my value is valued at this. And we'll look. We'll show you why. You know, you don't have to come to us with and prove to us that our value is incorrect. We want to be able to show you that our value is correct. And if it's not and we don't find those comps, we'll adjust it. We'll lower those values.
Actually, you cannot change values due to the 3% cap. And when this law came into effect, it was to help out a lot of the people up in Santa Fe that were actually losing their homes. So only a 3% cap on a yearly basis. You do the 3% for 10 years, that's 30%. And Lucy, you from being from California, this has become like the Proposition 13. And it is such an inequity due to the fact that, for example, Lucy has a house that's worth a couple hundred thousand. She sells it for $400,000, and I'm sitting on my home at $100,000. So what happens every year, I do a 3% increase, 3% increase. That is such an inequity. The problem with this piece of legislation is that we need to go current and correct. And the reason why is whatever the value is, that's what it's being based on. The Proposition 13 actually bankrupt California. Is that right there, Lucy?
I think they had a few other problems.
Yeah, and they went with it. And when we fought this piece of legislation was, well, what happens if you have a neighborhood where you're doing a study at about 40% and you have another study at 90% on another neighborhood? How are you going to bring that 40% up? You can, because you have that 3% cap. And on an appraisal technique, the issues are, you need to be an appraisal. appraiser. What's happening now is you're just plugging in numbers, and that's your 3% cap. So no matter how you look at it, it is an inequity. And we are going back to the roundhouse. We are going to back to our legislatures to see if there's any way possible to get back to current and correct. And the majority of the assessors statewide want to go back to current and correct.
I was in a meeting in Taos with New Mexico Association of Counties, and they're actually going to be presenting to legislation to increase that instead of having just 3% every year, but increase it 2% more, which would be 5%, then a 2% more, bring it to 7%, and eventually get to 10%, so that we can get to market without, if we do it really quick, what it does is it affects the people that have a hard time paying their taxes already. We don't want to tax anyone out of their home, and that's why the 3% was there. But now, now that the market's down, it's a good time to do this study because we're not that far off from market. I've done the study myself, looked at it. We're within 70% of being 100% at market. So we're not that bad as other places. Maybe like the bigger cities, they might have more of an inequitable values than what we have because I don't see it here in Grant County.
One of the things that I just wanted to mention is that this only applies to residential property. And the other thing is that I think maybe the question was an instance of asking if, say, you had paid $100,000 for your property, but now it's only selling for a similar property is only selling for $75,000. And so it would be not affected by the 3%, but the market having gone down. And that was the instance I was talking about where if you did notice that other similar properties were selling for less than what you paid or what your assessed value is for your house, which is usually pretty similar to what you paid for it, because that would be the market value, then that's an instance where you would want to go into the assessor's office and talk to them about reducing your value.
Actually, there's another methodology on that valuation. It all depends on how long you've been living in your house, and there are percentages on how they're going to increase it or decrease it. But Lucy, you are so right about that. If there's a property that's valued at $100,000 and you're seeing sales at $75,000, that is your inequity. And to bring it down, you would have to contest it during the protest period.
Just before we go to break, one of our questions suggests that there may be a misunderstanding out there in the community. The questioner asks this: why does Grant County need to increase property taxes each year by the maximum allowable amount? Where is there transparency to voters on operational cost control? Are we hearing from you that, in fact, the county does not increase property taxes each year by the maximum allowable amount? Is that a misconception?
Tax rates actually went down in some of the school districts last year. And that it's bringing in value. We do a reappraisal. People go out, and I mean, my staff goes out and makes sure that what's on the property is what we have on the tax roll. So making sure of that makes everybody pay their fair share of taxes then. And in doing that, the more value we bring in, the lower the tax rate is. And that showed in the one out, or everything outside of Silver City, Baird, and Hurley and Santa Clara, we did everything. We checked everything. Those tax rates dropped because of that. Did people pay more on their taxes? Maybe, because they were paying their fair share at the time. But overall, people were paying less on their taxes. It goes back to that 3%, you know, and it goes back to the study that I'm planning on doing. If the market is down, if the market's down and it's reflected as that, those values will go down as well.
Hurley and Santa Clara and Baird has the highest tax rate here in Grant County. Due to the fact that valuation maintenance, if you have valuation maintenance that's low, you're going to have a higher increase in valuation. The way you want to bring down the tax rate is on net new construction. Once you start placing valuation under net new, your tax rate will decrease. However, our valuation maintenance pretty much stays the same. due to the fact that there's not that much activity going on in Grant County with net new. Housing has gone down a little bit, and we do need, like, for example, in Santa Clara, it'd be nice if we could get a motel there or something in Baird or Hurley, because they do have the highest tax rate, and it does shift the burden on over to Baird, Santa Clara, Hurley, compared to what's happening in the one-in district or the one-out district.
When we come back to Civil Discourse, we'll hear closing statements from our candidates for Grant County Assessor. Stay with us. Welcome back to Civil Discourse. This is a public affairs program of Gila Mimbres Community Radio, and tonight we're having a candidates' roundtable in this hour with the three candidates in the primary election on June 3rd. For Grant County Assessor, we have come to the point in our program where we will have closing statements from our three candidates, and we'll begin with Lucy Whitmarsh, the Republican candidate, unopposed in the primary. That will change as we go to the general election. Lucy Whitmarsh.
Thank you, and thank you very much for having me here and having an opportunity to talk about my candidacy for Grant County Assessor. And I think from discussion that we've had that there is a tremendous amount of public education that could be accompanying what we're doing. And I think that that's one of the really good things about part of the election is that we have an opportunity to talk to people and help them understand exactly what the role of the assessor is and how we fit into the property tax system and how important it is and how important it is that it be a well-run office. And to say again, as I had said in the beginning, I think part of being a well-run office is working in cooperation with the tax collector and with the county clerk and with the administration of the county to make sure that everything is operating smoothly and effectively. And again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lucy Whitmarsh. Mary Guthrie, Democratic candidate in your case for re-election as Grant County Assessor.
Yes. You know, I never planned on running for county assessor. I happened to work in the office for such a long time, and when Mr. Villa appointed me his chief deputy, we knew it was in the best interest of the taxpayers that I run for office, since I am well-educated in the office. My knowledge and my experience, you know, speaks for itself. I'm from a small town, as it is, so I love the small town. I'm born and raised in Ely, Nevada. I lived there for like 19 years and then moved here. I'm married to Jason Guthrie. We have a 17-year-old son. I'm just an ordinary person, you know, and I just happen to be very passionate about my job. I love what I do. I know what it takes to get the job done and to do it well. And I'm here to serve the people of Grant County to the best of my ability to make sure that if you're 65 and older and you make less than $32,000 a year, that your income, I mean, that your value will be frozen from one year to the next. If you're a veteran, that you're getting your exemptions. If you're a disabled veteran, that you're 100% tax exempt. I care about the people here in Grant County. I'm in the office Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. The assessor actually doesn't even have to be in the office but one day a month. That's a law. But I choose to be there every day because I enjoy working with the people, visiting with the people, and helping them. You know, it's not me against the people. It's not my office against the people. We're here to serve the people of Grant County to the best of our ability. I have a wonderful staff that I work with. We work as a team, and we enjoy it very much, all working together, especially now with the protests. We're working very hard to make sure that these values are correct, the properties that have been protested. And not only that, making sure that moving forward with my studies that we'll be doing, that those values will be correct. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Guthrie and Raul Turrieta.
I will make it short. Thank you, Mr. Seibel. I appreciate the questions. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak here to the listeners of KURU and the Gila Mimbres Community Radio. I think you say it better than I do. Early voting has begun here in Silver City and also in Baird at the Baird Community Center. Please vote and vote now. I would just like to make a statement that I enjoy being here in Grant County, being a law third-generation native, and I did want to run for assessor, and I'm running for assessor, and I look forward to being your next assessor. So vote for Torieta from the community for the community. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Raul Torieta. We actually have a few minutes left, and I'm going to ask Nick for some commentary and perhaps another question.
Nope. good. Well, really, I just wanted to make my closing statement and say how much I've enjoyed the opportunity to join you here on Civil Discourse and on Gila Members Community Radio over these last few programs and in doing these candidates roundtables. It's a different format, and it's been a pleasure to be able to participate, and I hope I get invited back to that. And it's been particularly great because I've realized only, you know, when you get into the newspaper business, you think about all the things that have to be done immediately, and I'm like, oh, there's an election in a couple weeks, and I actually have to write endorsements. So it's really helpful to have had an opportunity to visit with everyone through these, and it's been a great opportunity, and I appreciate it. And I also, since I have a moment, want to mention that there is one more forum that'll be happening for the contested candidates in the primary election, and that's actually coming up this Thursday evening. It'll be at the Global Resource Center, the Bessie Forward Global Resource Center on the campus of Western New Mexico University this Thursday. That's the 22nd of May, and it'll be jointly sponsored by the Silver City Daily Press and CATS. It'll be broadcast on cable access here in the community, so it'll be a good opportunity to get out there, and we will be taking questions, written questions from the audience. So hopefully, if you're out there listening, you'll be able to join us for that forum as well. So thank you again, Jamie and Kyle and all the candidates. It's been a pleasure being here with you tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate those thoughts. And in the minutes that we have left, I want to ask a question, odd though it may be to ask a question after closing statements. This is a kind of postscript. This was a question of a sort I had not expected to get. Some land has been subdivided into very small parcels. A person who buys a set of small parcels sometimes wants to re-aggregate them into one large parcel. How can this be done? Would there be a property tax advantage to doing this? Would one of you speak to that? Mary Guthrie.
Right now, if it's deeded the same time, we can combine it. We cannot combine it if it is in lots, like lot 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5. We can note that on the account, but that's it. It would have to be resurveyed and made as one piece of property. But yes, it's possible.
And would there be a tax advantage to that consolidation of small lots?
Usually what I do is, if you own more than the one lot, I do look at that and consider it and lower that value. Well, it's not lower than the rest. I just give you a different rate.
Thank you. Lucy or Raul?
I think that if you're doing valuation just simply based on square footage, that there wouldn't be any significant difference. If you have a lot that, or even if you're just doing it at market value, if you have a lot that is $10,000 and you put two lots together and it's valued at $20,000, it doesn't seem like there would be any tax advantage of combining them.
Thank you, Lucy Whitmarsh. Raul Torieta, do you have anything to say to this one?
Absolutely. When you have a larger piece of property, it is less value per acre value, okay? And if you do break it in smaller pieces, the value does increase. So there is something to do with the evaluation assessment on that. The only way for it to combine it back together, it has to be surveyed. And it has to come up with one legal description, the size of the parcel itself, but there is a tax advantage.
We do have a few minutes left, and so now I'm going to offer you an unusual opportunity. Perhaps you came with something in mind that you hoped you would be asked about, and you haven't heard that question. What question, if there is one, that we have not asked you, would you really like to answer for our listeners?
I think that we've pretty much covered everything that I can think of.
That's a credit to the community that suggested questions to us. Go ahead.
The only thing that I would have to say is questions that aren't asked is being responsible. Being responsible to the property owners to make sure that their values are correct. And making sure that as the assessor that you are in the office Monday through Friday working 8 to 5. It's very, very important to be there. We are here to serve the people of Grant County.
Lucy Whitmarsh?
No, I don't have any comment.
Raul Turrieta.
Actually, I'm so glad that you brought that up. Experience means so much in that office. A lot of the assessors, not only national but international, I've been to a few international conferences where a lot of them are pretty much appointed. They're not elected. And when they asked us to stand up and say, well, how long have you been in the office? Somebody said 20 years. A few people stood up. Quite a few people stood up. They did on 30 years, 40 years. When I saw these assessors standing up with 60 years of service, that's how important this position is. Experience means everything in that office. Thank you.
Well, thank you all three, Raul Turrieta, Lucy Whitmarsh, Mary Guthrie, for being with us for a Candidates Roundtable. We have tried here on Gila Mimbres Community Radio to acquaint our listeners not only with issues, but also with characters, with personality, with perspectives. And I think we have learned that the county assessor is not simply a technician. This is a position where the human being in the office really does matter. And since taxation matters to everyone, even if you're not a property owner, take an interest in this position. I'm sure we would all agree, if you haven't voted early, don't vote often, but do be sure to vote timely by June 3rd. This has been Candidates Roundtable, a special edition of Civil Discourse on Gila Mimbres Community Radio. Thank you, Nick Seibel, for being our panelist and discussant. Thank you, Kyle, our studio engineer. And if you're interested in supporting this kind of very special local programming, there is a way. Become a member of Gila Mimbres Community Radio, offering you a voice and a choice for all of Grant County.